Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, if you listen often enough, you know that every month we have our good friend Dr. Troy Spurl on the show to talk about health and the healing process. And what I also know about our listeners is some of you are overachievers because you've already sent your questions in. I love that. The text line is open. If you've got questions about health and the healing process, here is the number, although I'm hoping and praying you've got it on speed dial by now. Text 877-933-2484. So I told Dr. Troy that I Googled some of the most common health questions, and I told him I'm not going to tell you what they are. I'm just going to throw them at you like a dog. You throw a dog a bone, right? He wasn't one bit offended by that, not even a little bit. But I'm going to give you guys, so I guess he'll get a little bit of a heads up on some of the top questions that people ask their doctors and healthcare providers. Here's one. Why do I get sick? How do disease-causing germs invade my body? What does the immune system do? What's the difference between bacteria and viruses? Do our intestines contain germs? What are allergies? Should I go gluten-free? Are short workouts worth it? Is tap water safe to drink? Sugar or high fructose corn syrup? Does cholesterol in food count? Is microwave food unsafe? And so on. And I'm thinking, Troy, before I introduce you, you got to be chomping at the bit. Don't you love these questions?
Oh, yeah. I'm answering them in my head as we speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm expecting a very lively conversation. There are more, and those ones I'll throw at you. So you will be surprised a little bit. Quick announcement before we actually hear officially and have Dr. Troy answer some of these questions. If you're brand new to our listening audience, and man, our audience is growing by leaps and bounds all over the world, we say welcome. Welcome to the family. We're so glad to have you here. We do have a welcome packet that just sort of introduces you to our programming, our heart. I think you'll get some swag and some fun things as well. It's free. You just hop on our website, myfaithradio.com, and request it. A couple quick announcements as well. If you live in the Twin Cities area, please come and see me next Friday, November 3rd. I'll be speaking at the Sisterhood event at Emmanuel Christian Center. It's free. They'll have food trucks, boutique. It's kind of a girls' night out. Epic worship, and I'm super excited to bring a brand new message. So that's next Friday the 3rd. If you're in the Pennsylvania area and you want to come to Hershey Lodge, that one's not free, but it's an epic conference. Inspire Conference, November 9th to 11th. Hop online and see what you can find as far as getting tickets, and I'd love to see you there. Okay, Dr. Troy joins us again today, as I said, and this is always an important reminder. He's not here to diagnose you over the air, and even to give medical advice that's contrary to your doctor. You always got to check with your healthcare physician before making changes. But our whole purpose is to give you a bigger picture of how you care for your health, that preventative care really does matter, and that every step towards health and healing matters. So now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Spurl is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. It's located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. And what I can say without showing my hand or his hand is that I know this man, and Kevin and I are in a life group with he and his wife. He is such a visionary that he is working, building infrastructure inside, really preparing to just address so many more health issues that it's going to be so exciting in the days ahead as you see God really just expand the territory of Synapse. So, Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Absolutely love being here.
Yeah, we love our conversations as well. I can't wait to get into our Google list. I'd have never thought of all the years I've had you on, never thought to go to Google for my show prep, but it was fun. So before we get there, though, I'm wondering, what's God been talking about these days?
So for me, just because of what you previously mentioned, I just believe that God's just opening up a bunch of doors, and it has to do about equipping. And I've been just almost daily, I can't stop talking about how God equipped David to take down Goliath. And so it actually comes from 2 Timothy, and he's talking here. It's 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And I just see a complete equipping happening in every problem that we see in life. There's someone that God is equipped to start handling that. And before the show, Angie and I were just talking about how one of your recent guests was on, Pastor Jamie, and I just think he's equipping a multitude of people. He's been equipped, and now he's equipping a multitude of people of just what it looks like to move forward. And he's just one example of many. I'm all of a sudden just meeting all these people from in my line of work, just in the healthcare field, where all of a sudden I'm seeing this equipping happening with other people. Yep. And doors are opening, and I just think we're going to see miracles. I think we're going to see Red Sea moments. I think we're going to see God working and just changing lives at all levels. It's almost like the excitement you see before you're about to go on stage to give a performance. Not that I've ever done that, but I've been given lectures and stuff, and there's an excitement there about what's about to happen.
Come on. Somebody's texted me an amen. I echo that so much, Doc. I mean, we can look around and get so scared of all that we see happening. And if you listen to just media all the time, I mean, news media, you will be in a place of such polarizing fear. And if you are someone who battles fear, go back and listen to that Jamie Winship conversation, because it was mind-boggling. But I echo what you're saying, and I want to just say this as far as the health and healing process. What I'm noticing, and I'd love to know if you feel this way as well, but God is going after some of these long buried wounds in the body of Christ. He's like, I've got, you know, like Melissa, our friend, says, heal people. He's going after some of these things to bring them up, and you might feel like a mess right now because he's allowing some of this stuff to surface so he can heal you. And others who've leaned into that and done the work, they're starting now to be equipped. They're meeting people. God's opening doors. And so this should be a super exciting time for the body of Christ. As bold as the enemy is, don't you think God is bolder still? And as dark as the darkness is, don't you think the light shines brighter still? So for those who aren't being intimidated by Goliath, but they're looking to the Lord, he is either healing them or preparing them or both. What do you say, Doc?
Absolutely. And it's very, very common for our problems to feel like a Goliath of a problem, like that they're insurmountable. There's no way I can overcome this. So many people say, yes, that was good for them, but that doesn't work for me. No, that's a Goliath of a problem inside our own head, and that's what the enemy wants. And so it's important to know that God equipped you. Just like he said in 2 Timothy, you have been equipped to handle the Goliath, the problem that you are facing. Just like David, who was just this little scrawny boy who got so good at using a slingshot, he could take down and hit a branch from so far away. He could take down a bear, a lion, and he saw Goliath, and he legitimately said, he's so big, how can I miss? Mm-hmm. He was equipped, and so have we been equipped. It's just, that's been like resonating and just bouncing around in my head and my heart for the last two or three shows we've been on. I've mentioned it because it's still so relevant. So, but I just want people to, and I'm not budging from that, but I'm seeing other people all of a sudden, just they're the stuff they're bringing forward. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, this is an exciting and powerful time to be a believer, friend. So no matter what stage you're in, whether it's the healing stage or the preparation stage, keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
Because the Goliaths are going down, baby. All right, so before we get to my Google list, which I don't know why I think that's so hilarious. Like, it never occurred to me to Google and show prep to talk with you. I don't know. I'm laughing at myself. But okay, I'm going to take some of these texts that have come in because of these wonderful overachievers who texted in before the live show even started. This dear one says, Dr. Susie, Dr. Troy, which, you know, I know. I love that.
That's how you get to the top of the list, right?
Exactly right. If you want your question on the show, all right. It says, my dad has atrial fibrillation and a Baker's cyst behind his right knee. He's been told by his cardiologist to take blood thinners for his heart, and his orthopedic doctor has said there's no treatment available for that Baker's cyst. Please help. What say you?
So the Baker's cyst is kind of true. They can go away on their own. It's basically a cyst that forms to sequester some type of toxin or something like that, something the body is trying to keep safe or keep secure, I should say. And so a lot of times it just does not go away. Sometimes just pressure itself. At an elderly age, it takes quite a bit to be able to have it go away. Surgical removal sometimes depends how much it's getting in the way. It can, I've had people fall on their knees and burst the cysts, and that takes care of it. So they've had cysts in the wrists and stuff and other areas. And back in the old days, they used to take a Bible and just slam it against the wrist to try and break the cyst. And so stuff like that happens. There isn't anything we do naturally that actually takes care of it. So surgery, so the doctor's right on that. When it comes to the AFib, there's a lot of different problems that set up the AFib. So anything from dental infections to sleep disorders like sleep apnea and upper airway resistance syndrome, to intestinal inflammatory problems, all of those things could be setting up a scenario that causes the AFib. Also different things that set up electrolyte instability. So there's a lot of different causes of AFib. Many, many times we've treated patients, been able to prevent any type of real serious problems or correct the AFib. There are different things that you can do with the diaphragm breathing and, of course, healing the blood itself. When the clotting factors are too high, different things that cause clotting and inflammation in the arteries, that's what we focus on, and we start cleaning that stuff up. So the blood thinners are so that the clots and stuff don't happen and don't irritate the arteries. But if you can get the arteries healthy, get the area of the brain that regulates the constriction and relaxation of the arteries, then you can do a lot. Speaking to specifics, it really depends on the individual as far as what is causing the inflammation, the potential infections, and the sleep disorders.
Okay. For Dr. Troy, what are symptoms of a different heavy metal toxicity, and is it possible to clear them from your body?
Yes, it's absolutely possible to clear heavy metals. In fact, there are quite a number of doctors that are now pioneering this process. My staff, I wasn't at the last seminar, but a lot of my doctors, my team were, and there was a gentleman, there was a doctor who was treating Tony Robbins, and he was public, I guess. He's made this public, so it's okay that I share the information, but he was eating so much tuna that his mercury went through the roof, and it became life-threatening. So Tony Robbins was weeks away from having some type of moral, really a mortal event, or basically a catastrophic event. His levels were so high. It was the highest this doctor had ever seen. And so you can do a lot of things to chelate that out. So the process is called chelation. There's DMSA, EDTA, and DMSO. There's different things that can chelate. So some of them are done in IV. Some are done with pills. But you have to slowly bring them out of the body because heavy metals are kind of like an anchor in the ocean. And so just picture an anchor being dragged on the bottom of the ocean floor. It just tears up the ocean floor. Well, that's what heavy metals are like. So when things bind in your blood, they basically have to be kind of pulled out of the body, but they kind of tear up the arteries as they're being pulled out, and it can really affect the kidneys because the kidney is just really a big ball of arteries that helps filter a lot of the toxins out. So you have to make sure your kidneys are in good shape and you have to detoxify it properly. As far as what types of symptoms, heavy metals create an environment where bad things grow. That's what I'm going to say. So picture a junkyard and weeds grow there instead of good, healthy crops. Well, that's what happens in our body. We have this barrier system in our digestive system called the MT barrier system. M stands for metallo, which is like metal, and then thionine. So this metallothionine barrier binds the metals that are in our food. The more stress we have, the more we lose that MT barrier system. It's sulfur and zinc dependent. So we don't get the metals being pulled out or blocked, and so they enter our body. Metals conduct electric currents. Our nervous system is electric. So basically, it can short circuit some of our neurologic communication. So it can cause memory loss. It can cause other problems, especially lead and mercury. So there's a lot of disruptions it can cause. Most of it are infection, inflammation, and in the electric circuitry of our nervous system as far as the main symptoms.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll tackle a few more of these questions that have come in. Love seeing this, friends. I might not even need to get to my Google questions. Anyway, I Googled what are some of the top questions around health, and they're pretty interesting. Like, why do I get sick? How do disease-causing germs invade my body? What does the immune system do? I'll try to maybe weave some of these in because they're so interesting. But I also want to give priority to those of you who've texted in. If you've got a question, text 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I don't know about you, but I love consistent nourishment. I love to fast on occasion. There's a purpose in that. But if you go too long without eating on a regular basis because you're too busy, your body actually goes into crisis mode. Well, in the same way, your soul, your spirit, they need nourishment too. And that's why it's so important to be listening to scripture, listening to good teaching on a consistent basis throughout the day. That's why we're here. We love what we do, and we want to do it with you. If you listen on the radio, on the terrestrial signal, we encourage you, download our free Faith Radio app. That way, if you're traveling this season, you can take us with you wherever you go. You can catch the live shows or even the podcast after the fact. And we've made it easier than ever. All you have to do is text the word app to 877-933-2484 and then click the link. I hope you will walk with us on this journey. Greater things are yet to be done in and all around us because God, well, He's on the move. Thanks so much for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. If you listen often enough, you know we've got a good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl, on the show once a month for health in the healing process. We want to address ways we can really take steps towards healing and health. And remember, his advice, he's not here to diagnose you over the airways. That would be unfair to him and to you. But we really want to get a bigger picture of there's so many things you can do, really sometimes simple things you can do to add strength to your frame, to improve your health. And every step towards healing matters. You can text in your question. We're going to get it to as many as we can. And I'd said at the open of the show, just for fun, I thought I would Google what are some of the most common health questions. And they're pretty interesting. So I'll weave some of those in as well. 877-933-2484. Let's take one of these Google questions, and then I'll get to some of these texts. Quite a few have come in now. This is a Google. The top Google question on health is, why do I get sick? What do you say?
That's a great question. There's actually been books written about that, and you can look up the book, Why Do I Get Sick? Or Why Do People Get Sick? The short version of the story is stress. Mental, chemical, and physical stress or distress internally. Anything that downregulates your immune system response will then, basically it's your defenses. If you don't have a good defense system, then as you're exposed to different things or as you have been exposed to toxins, then all of a sudden you can't defend yourself and bad things grow. Infections grow. Cancer grows. When your immune system is healthy and thriving, and the things that do that are good sleep, good thoughts, good water intake, good food intake, anything the body doesn't recognize as innately natural to it, and if it's foreign, that's a toxin. So it's all about the immune system response based on the stressors. And there's really 12 things that knock that down, and that's mental stress, poor sleep, food allergies, reactions, or inflammation, mm-hmm. infections, environmental chemicals and pollutants, hormone imbalance and instability, low vitamin D is another one. And I think I got them all, or most of them there. Wow. So a lot of those things will cause us to then not have a balanced homeostasis type of system. And so it there's just a lot of reasons. That could be a whole weekend seminar just on that one question.
Wow. This dear listener says they've been diagnosed with prostate cancer. Is there any natural way to cure it? That's their question. But I'm asking also, is there natural ways to boost their immune system in a situation like that?
Yeah. So a lot of prostate cancers occur because specifically we see two main things that we see. There are some things naturally that can be done. My mentor, one of the guys that I learned the most from, had a 94% success rate working with cancer naturally. And so he did really was measure the acids in the body. So prostate in particular is very, very sensitive to acidic environments. So as we have acids, our kidneys pull them out. And so we see a lot of issues with the bladder and that area. Now, the prostate itself is not directly connected to that, but gets influenced by those acids going through that system. And so we see, number one, reduce the acid burden of the body. Now, a lot of different things can cause acid burden. sugar consumption that feeds things like fungus, yeast, things like of that nature. The other thing that we see are different things like estrogens, and anything that mimics estrogens can cause a benign hypertrophic prostate. And so a lot of prostates will swell, and we'll actually put men on an estrogen cleanse to actually detox and improve their prostate function. So estrogen cleanses, basically, we use things from, it's actually from rhubarb of all things, and it's a natural ingredient that will compete with the chemicals that are usually pesticides. The most common estrogen mimicking chemical are pesticides, and they will disrupt a lot of the prostate stuff. So when you don't eat organic, you're exposed to more pesticides. If you live in farming communities, you might be exposed to pesticides, and they can't get out of the body properly. And then the third thing is, we just really make sure for prostate that zinc levels are doing really well. And those are the three main factors. But the pH of the blood, urine, and saliva have to be perfectly balanced. And when you have heightened stress, the pH in the saliva can change. So one of the things that influences that is breathing, oxygen versus carbon dioxide, which we've talked about in the show before. So it's really taking a look at those factors of, how do I change the body's pH, specifically in the urine, but even beyond that with the blood and the saliva, and making sure zinc's good, and detoxifying of estrogens.
That's amazing. So I was going to ask you about stress. I was thinking about in a male who's got a high stress life, but he's not resolving those things in light of God's love. You know what I mean? Not challenging maybe stress inducing thoughts and that kind of thing. And then maybe eating a ton of food. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm thinking of acidic foods and red sauces, and then, you know, big gulps and pop, and, you know, a lot of stuff that's just adding to the acid load and burden in their bodies. That creates an atmosphere that makes them vulnerable then.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. Wow. And like fructose, even fruit, like fruit juices, will increase an acid called uric acid. And a lot of people know it as gout. And gout is this red, swollen toe. But uric acid can get caught in a lot of different areas of the body. When we now know that if it affects the brain, it causes Alzheimer's and dementia. So it's almost like having a red, inflamed, gouty type area in the brain, but you don't have the pain receptors there that you have in the big toe. So you can't feel the pain. You just feel the lack of memory issues. So mild dehydration increases uric acid. So that's just one acid that can increase, causing dysfunction in a lot of different areas. And when we run an organic acid profile, we test over 79 different acids in the body.
Wow. So men, you know, in the women, this applies to us too, but I'm just thinking of men because prostate issues, you're hearing more and more about those. Let's think about things you could do at home, you know, just even as preventative care, managing your stress and trusting God on a deeper level, drinking a lot of water, balancing your diet, you know, going lower. I mean, maybe get rid of your soda intake, possibly lower your coffee intake. So, yes. You know, these are hard things, but I mean, truly exercise, but just to try to balance your system in a way, and how much your body will thank you for that. What a difference that could make, right?
Absolutely. And the exercise is key, and specifically doing like sit-ups and when we sit and become over any type of overweight on the prostate, it decreases blood flow to the prostate. And so cancer loves an acidic, lack of oxygen environment. So the more blood flow you can get going to that area, the better. And a lot of times, especially guys with desk jobs and things like that, you're sitting there, and it actually is inhibiting the blood flow, meaning less nutrients, less oxygen going to the actual organ itself.
That's fascinating. Wow. Okay, here's the question. We've got to take a break here in just a couple minutes, but I think this is a quick answer. Is it good, safe, beneficial to take collagen for all people?
Ooh, for all people. I'm going to say, yes, it's safe to take collagen. I don't know of any contraindications off the top of my head. I'd have to look at Dr. Google for that one. But it's pretty safe. There's a difference between effectiveness, and there are people who have collagen disorders, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome or EDS. There's 13 different varieties of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So I would look at some of those other collagen disorders and just make sure that it would be okay and safe with them. Most of the EDS scenarios we do use collagen, so I wouldn't imagine it'd be a problem. But some people have an issue with laying down of collagen or actually using it, so that'd be my only concern there. But it's nothing off the top of my head. I'm a huge fan of collagen.
And so two thoughts, just questions for you. One, I've read somewhere that if you overuse it, it can cause a hardening, almost like a scleroderma on the inside. Like if that's for someone who's going crazy with it, I might be saying that wrong, but it can cause kind of a stiffening of some of your internal processes. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, I've never experienced that with our patients, but it's something that that would, for me, that means you're not getting other cofactors. Like vitamin C is very important. And there are other factors, like if you're not exercising, there could be adding collagen to an area and it's stiffening. So for me, that I don't see that as a collagen problem. I see that as a something else is missing from your diet or lifestyle problem.
And also, I only mentioned that. I mean, it's like I read that somewhere in an article. It doesn't mean it's gospel and by any stretch,
right.
But it is a reminder that, you know, sometimes we think that more is always better.
And that's very true. So yep.
Stick
all
with
about
it.
Balance. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, in my experience, not all collagens are created equal. So someone might say, this one, my hair is, you know, thicker and shinier, my nails are, and then someone else tries it and says, have not had that experience at all. So I think it's really worth trying different kinds and just seeing. Wouldn't you say? I mean, don't you start to kind of notice if it's working for you?
Absolutely. We're all unique. And the most important thing you do is just have awareness of what works for you and your body. And if there's a reaction to it, good or bad, it's important to just discern if it's a bad reaction. Is this a good bad reaction or a bad bad reaction? Meaning sometimes things induce a detox reaction and it's actually good for you and you need to stay the course. And sometimes it really is not a good thing. So you've got to give things time. You have to let it play out, and then just file that in the bank as far as the back of your head, as far as what works and what doesn't.
Good. This dear listener, who's a friend of our show and a patient of yours, but she likes to remain anonymous, says she's currently doing ionized foot baths, colonics, oral supplements for heavy metals. She said the water turns black, orange, and green. She says, yuck, but praise God for functional medicine. Thank you for the show. God bless you, Troy. And then she says, Dr. Susie. So I got to go to break talking this one. Troy, I don't even need your help on this. I got this
okay.
All by myself. Are you ready?
I'm going to take a break.
She says, you go make a sandwich while I answer this question. Please remind me of the coffee alternatives you use and mentioned months ago. And I had to get off coffee because of the sleep thing. I miss it. I have a couple sips of Kev's most mornings, just three sips, sometimes four. Sometimes one. But the coffee that I drink, it's not coffee. It's called Creo Brew, and it's a cacao bean, and it comes ground, and it's actually supposed to be healthy for you, and it is the most delicious thing ever. And we just have a minute here, but what can you say about the cacao bean? Because what I've heard is that this actually has health benefits like antioxidant effects and things like that. What have you heard about the cacao bean and like drinking that in a brew like that?
Yeah, so it huge antioxidant effects. And so, and clean coffee can also do the same thing, but the antioxidant component specifically for the arterial system is very, very good. So I like it a lot, and it's a great alternative. So anything that can get us antioxidants, I'm a huge fan of.
So Creo Brew is spelled C-R-I-O-B-R-U, Creo Brew. It is a great way to start your morning if you can't do coffee. As we go to break, I think you can give me a yay, nay on this one. Does apple cider vinegar increase bad acid in your body?
Nay.
Nay, which is a no. It does not. It's actually good for you. Right?
Correct.
So, okay, maybe you can touch on that on the other side. We got so many questions. I don't know how we're going to ever get to my Google questions, but the point is our listeners, right? So we're here for you, friends. Dr. Troy is my guest today. Every step towards health and healing matters. We're going to do as much, tackle as many of these questions as we can. And I will weave in some of my Google questions because they're funny and they're not all funny, but it's funny to me that I found so many great questions. So we'll be back in a minute. Oh, Hope you're having a fantastic day. We are having a great conversation with our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurrell. He is CEO, founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He joins us every month to talk about health and the healing process. We've got so many texts coming in. I don't know if we'll get to all the questions, but we're sure going to try. And I want to ask the questions that feel like they would be an answer to a general public so that what he answers for one, many, many can apply to their lives. So here's one, because candida is a very common issue, even more so than probably people think. This dear listener says, Susie, thanks so much for having Dr. Troy on. Can you please ask him how to treat candida in the blood? My daughter had her blood work done recently and candida came back positive. Can this candida cause fatigue? She's tired a lot. Thank you and bless you. What say you?
Absolutely. Candida can cause fatigue, and it depends on what the test was, but most candida is actually in the gut. Even if it was blood work, if it was antibodies, I'd have to see the test to get specifics. But if there's a difference, because if it's just in the GI tract, you can focus on that. And if it's in the blood, more systemic, quite a bit harder. So there are medications for it. Nystatin is one. And generally speaking, though, the practitioners will only prescribe that for a couple weeks, which is correct because it can be hard in the kidneys and there's a lot that goes with that. So the real problem is, how did the candida overtake the body? Because the good bacteria compete with it. The most common cause is because you're not making enough stomach acid, and therefore the pH of the bowels change and you're consuming too much sugar. So stress, sleep disorders, different things like that set up the stomach acid issue. There's a process called dysautonomia, or if you're in fight or flight, you can't be in rest and digest, meaning the nerve, the vagus nerve, is not supporting the stomach properly. Some people have a histamine problem or a zinc deficiency, and that can also cause problems with the stomach acid not being secreted enough. Then you end up getting an environment where the yeast can grow. So you can take all of the things to treat the candida. The natural product, there's one called Biocidin. Anything with berberine in it can help. Oregano oil, all those things can kill off the candida and the yeast in a sugar-free diet scenario. But if you don't fix the underlying low stomach acid problem, it'll just keep coming back. So you have to fix the things that are contributing to the low stomach acid, which is going to be anything triggering a fight or flight response, a zinc deficiency, or problems with managing your histamine, which if you take an antihistamine and you feel better, then that tells you that there might be an issue there with histamines. If you take an antihistamine and you feel worse, it means you probably don't have enough histamine, because you do need it.
Interesting. All right. Is food cooked with microwave good for you? Is there any difference in nutrition from traditional stovetop cooking?
So you're probably going to get a lot of feedback in this, but I have not used a microwave in 15 years and I can't stand them. So I personally I saw research a long time ago, and I've chose not to use a microwave because I personally believe that it changes our food and the nutrients aren't as good. Now, I have to be honest. I looked at that 15 years ago, research and everything that's coming out then. I've really not changed my mind on it because I haven't looked at anything new. So if it's something new out there and you know it, let me know. But I tell you what, just cooking food. Now, if you're starving and you need the calories and stuff like that, different story. But I look at food as nutrients. I want the nutrients for my body. And if anything makes it worse, I'm going to try and avoid that. So I like to have things that are more raw and that are more fresh. And so microwaving, you know, it adds a couple extra minutes, but you've met my wife. She will walk 20 blocks to get something that's not microwaved, just to get that extra, like whatever it is, 0.6 milligrams of zinc or vitamin C that's in the food that's not microwaved. So,
and isn't it true? I mean, again, just layperson here, but that, I mean, I do use the microwave once in a while. I'll heat up my Creole brew sometimes and I hate it when I do it, but I do. But I've heard that radiation attaches, especially to liquid in the microwave, that you're getting some radiation, right, in your food?
Yeah, very, very, very small amounts. So that it's true, it's very, very small amounts. And so that a lot of times that gets dismissed by the traditional scientific community because of the small amounts. But what they don't look at is the bioaccumulation, meaning we're constantly being bombarded with these small amounts of things that by themselves don't cause an issue. So the bioaccumulation is a significant issue. The only thing I will say I do microwave is water to heat it up sometimes. I've done that, I think, I'm going to say 5 times in the last 15 years, so it's not often, but I'll do that when I'm needing time. But I'll pull out a big pot and heat it up in the stove and boil it on the stove and then fill up my cup of tea.
Like Laura Ingalls Wilder used to do.
Or my grandma, even before.
Well, you've also said, too, when you're cooking things on the stove and your nose smells the food, your body kicks into gear that it's time to start digesting.
Yes.
And so the whole system and process is bypassed when we microwave.
Yep, absolutely. There's an interesting thing with the timing of everything. And so even we've talked in the show about the importance of breathing through your nose versus your mouth. Because it activates a nitric oxide, which dilates your blood vessels. There's a natural process that occurs with digestion and so many other things like sleep from a slow pace of life. And we miss those when we kind of add in all of these quick pace things like microwaves.
I mean, it's like that's why the slow food movement became such a big thing, because people are like rebelling against fast food, just a fast food lifestyle. And our son, our oldest son, Jake, and his wife have been like that for years, where they have people over to help them cook the meal, where they just they got music on, they're taking their time, they're enjoying the scents and the smells. And I love that. I think that's such a beautiful idea. All right. Michael says, Dr. Spurl Larson and Company. So you got the doc there, and you deserve it.
Okay, thanks.
He says, so he's been dealing with all kinds of GI issues. It started with burning, gnawing, and upper abdominal area, weight loss of 18 pounds, bloating, ileocecal valve pressure. Most symptoms are cleared, however, currently dealing with random panic attacks, depression, lower esophageal, sphincter aching, pains, and burning whenever I eat. Am aiming towards H. pylori, peptic ulcer, candida. What say you?
Wow, yeah, he's on it. So H. pylori is what I would be thinking of first. It can also be bile duct spasms or problems with the bile duct or gallbladder, not breaking down fats properly. SIBO or SIFO, small intestinal fungal overgrowth, that's the candida. Peptic ulcer is definitely a possibility. And you can even get leaky gut, or a sneaky one is like a PANDAS type scenario where there's a strep. If you had strep infection within the last year, if it lands in the gut and doesn't take hold but is there, it can actually cause the anxiousness and anxiety as well. Hmm. And then anything with a little bit of intestinal inflammation will offset the serotonin, which can then cause some dopamine issues with the brain. So it can just be a general inflammatory intestinal thing as well. But he landed on H. pylori and candida. These are sharp listeners here. That's a high-end question, and I love it.
Yeah, they're amazing. This dear one says, some health foods such as spinach and chocolate are high in oxalates. Should you stay away from them?
Well, oxalates, no, because only if you have high oxalates should you stay away from them. Now, funny enough, candida is one of the things that causes an increase in oxalates. Glyphosate or Roundup causes an increase in glyphosates for people who are B6 deficient. And so I wouldn't avoid good healthy foods like that unless you're specifically trying to decrease your oxalate content. And there's a lot of things you can take to help with that. Number one is B6. Number two is calcium citrate that binds the oxalates in the gut. And so I'm not a huge fan of avoiding the high oxalate foods just for doing it, only if you have like a high oxalate lab finding. And people with high oxalates, fibromyalgia is one of the common symptoms or the diagnosis people get. They can even get issues with their eyes, can start to become problematic if you have high oxalates, pain in different areas of the body as well. So kidney stones, obviously, and that's a big part of it. But I never avoid oxalates unless I have a lab that's showing really, really high oxalates.
Hmm. This dear one says that they get pretty cold with the cooler temperatures. How should I build up my immune system so I don't catch colds so easily?
Well, so with the colder temperatures, you just need circulation and blood flow. So it's basically stay moving, number one, increase the oxygen, stay hydrated. When it gets colder, we tend to not drink as much. Continue to sleep. Sleeping is by far the best thing for your immune system. And then vitamin D is very much needed as well. And just reducing stress as much as possible. So there's a reason why we tend to hibernate in the wintertime. It's because it boosts our immune system. And all the cold does is reduce our ability to get the immune cells where they need to be in a timely manner. And there is some mechanisms of how things can become transferred easier in a cold environment. But to the point of, I think it was actually one of your Google questions, like how do we get viruses and these infections? We don't always get these infections. Like we're exposed to this stuff all the time. Most of the time, we already have the viruses within us, and this might blow the minds of a lot of people, but most times we have the viruses in us. And viruses are like inmates in a prison that are stuck in the jail cell, but the jail cell door is open all the time. They stay in there. Like I'm talking about the flu bug too. They stay in there, and if our immune cells or the prison guards are walking back and forth, but if our immune system becomes compromised and the prison guards aren't there, they'll come out and rear their ugly head. Now, prison guards will go away, or our immune cells will go away to fight infection somewhere else within the prison, or put out a fire. That's inflammation. So the goal is to reduce your inflammation and then feed your immune cells, keep them strong. That's water, that's vitamin C or antioxidants, and that's good, deep, restorative sleep. Even though there's new types of flu viruses every year, we have guards that recognize that this is an inmate that's similar to this other virus over here, and even though there's a little mutation, it will instantly put it into that open cell right away. That's why some people just never get the flu or colds. I'm going on year 30 of not missing a day at work, and I treat people actively with colds and flus, all types of viruses. And so I'm thankful for that, but I also pay real close attention to just boosting my immune system response.
What if we all did that this year, friends? What if we all did that and started to pay close attention? We have Dr. Troy on every month, but to drinking our water, managing our stress, prioritizing bedtime, getting exercise, watching our diet, bringing inflammation down. I think we should be one big experiment. I was going to say one big juicy experiment from here till spring and see if all of us can kind of upgrade our immune system and navigate these next few months with a new sense of strength and immunity strength. I think that'd be amazing. Who's in? Who's with me? All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll tackle more questions. We've got a lot of them. We'll do our best. More with Dr. Troy in a minute.
As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. Time together as people of faith is so important, and together we can make a positive impact. So Faith Radio is ready to hit the road. Would your community be a good fit for a Faith Radio live event full of encouragement and togetherness that we can spur each other on toward love and good deeds? Nominate your community for a live Faith Radio event at myfaithradio.com, and I hope to get to see you soon.
Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. So I asked the question before the break, who's with me? We're going to do everything we can to be great stewards of our health and our bodies over these next few months. We're not going to phone it in. We're not going to eat cookies every single day. We're going to keep inflammation down. We're going to do our best to get good sleep, drink a lot of water, eat pretty healthy, get some exercise during these winter months. If you're cold, exercise is such a great idea. Talking to Dr. Troy today, and we're just talking about what are ways we can reduce our the threat, because as he said, we've got viruses in our body all the time, but they're behind the prison guard. But if that prison guard is sent to some other spot in our body, or they're compromised because we are bombarding our bodies with stuff that just is hard to process, we're suddenly susceptible to the stuff that's going around. And you don't have to be that way. Dr. Troy said he's not missed a day of work in 30 years. My goodness. And I've got all kinds of people texting in, Doc, saying, I'm in. So let's do this, friends.
I love it.
And I'm just praying God reminds you to just make these daily steps that will help you to stay healthy. So many people are, I'm in. Tell me how to manage inflammation, please. All right, let's talk about that. What can we do to manage inflammation?
Well, that is a loaded question, because that's the main thing. Inflammation is the main, it's a fire inside, basically, that shouldn't be there. So managing inflammation, first and foremost, is that we have control over is our diet. So sugar is obviously inflammatory. We have a general rule: if God made it, it's good. If man changed it, beware when it comes to our food. So not overeating. When we gain weight or store fat, that equals inflammation. So it causes inflammation. When we are exposed to things that we can't use properly, that's inflammation. There's good inflammation too. When we go to the gym or we work physically, our muscles get inflamed, they break down, and they build back up. So you want inflammation, you just don't want it to be out of control. And so things that put the inflammation out or help the immune system fight inflammation, vitamin D and omega-3 fish oil. So if we're deficient in those omega-3s, then all of a sudden inflammation can really abound. Also, stress is by far the biggest cause of inflammation. So stress causes cortisol, which is converted to cortisone. And that, if you guys just think about like athletes who get injured and their joints are inflamed, what do they inject in them? Cortisone. You get a cortisone shot. Well, if we have stress that is chronic, it'll deplete our cortisol, so we can't have anti-inflammatory solutions for our joints. This is why as we age, we have a life accumulation stress scenario where we don't have cortisol properly. And the number one reason why we have stress when we age and don't have the cortisol there is because of sleep disorders. Most people don't realize that they're not sleeping deeply. I have patients in their 90s that sleep through the night right now, and they feel good when they wake up, and they're so vibrant. I was just visiting my mom up in Canada, and we sat down at the table. It was a nice little gathering there, and there was a gal across from us, and she made a comment. I said, "Wait, how old are you?" And she said, 95. I said, "She just went skydiving, jumped off an airplane." And she looked 70. I asked my wife, "How old do you think she looks?" She said, 70. And she was 95. She looked 25 years younger. Wow. She was maybe the most vibrant person at the table. And so she was just active, and it was great to see. And so those are things that we can do. Again, antioxidants help put out inflammation. So we have a lot of control over that. Our stress and our diet and our sleep, those three things really, really help reduce inflammation to a tremendous degree.
Hmm. So this next question is controversial, and you might have a differing opinion. We have Dr. Lee Warren on our show kind of regularly. He's a neurobrain spine surgeon. You would love him. He belongs in our group, Troy, I'm telling you. But what he does say about CBD is it melts your brain. He said it. People don't even know how tough it is on the brain. And I know lots of young people, I know I've heard about young people taking CBD gummies like they're candy because in certain states they've been legalized. This dear listener said, what do you think about CBD for inflammation? Now, I have heard that there's times it's helpful, but I just want to balance that with saying what Dr. Lee Warren has said. He's concerned about the overuse of it because how tough it is on the brain. What say you?
Yeah, I would agree with the overuse. It's the same thing. You have to be careful with it because it is anti-inflammatory. There's a lot of research showing that it does help with actual seizure modification. So there's a lot of potential benefit from it, but you can't use it like a crutch. So it's not a CBD deficiency. You know what I mean? So it's basically a Band-Aid until you can get the real root cause addressed. So I'm not against it. As I used to be extremely against it, and especially anything with THC. So I'm talking about the CBD, just the oil itself. So I have shifted just in the last couple of years and say that there is a place for it, but it has to be monitored and regulated properly and not overused. So I wouldn't say, I would agree with them as far as what can happen with the brain, but it can also be helpful for some people for the brain. But I'm not a huge fan of being reliant upon anything, to be quite frank. So I would say the same thing about any type of herbal sleep aid or anything like that. You want to continue to try and work on the underlying conditions and be on the least amount of products or whatever it is that's helping, be on the least amount of that and the maximize the effectiveness still. So I'm not against it. I do use it, but we monitor it very, very carefully.
Just got a minute left. This dear one says, enhanced physiologic tremor is something her friend has been diagnosed with and has been told that it could possibly be her supplements. What say you, Dr. Troy?
It's too hard to know off top of with that. So for me, the too many supplements thing is an excuse I hear a lot of times. And so you have to look at the details of that. So many things actually can cause the tremor scenario. But the short version is, if it's the supplements, stop them all. Generally speaking, that's safe and you can do that. It's not like medications. And then re-enter one at a time the supplements and stop them for 2 weeks and see if the symptoms go away, and then bring them back one at a time to see if they come back. And that is a good way to help navigate that.
No, we didn't even come close to all of our questions, both in the text line and my Google questions, but it was a good show. Thank you. Thank you for the time today, Doc. And I'm praying God redeems the time because you're so kind to give us your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Pray you found some encouragement here today. Always remember, every step towards healing and health matters. And some of us are taking on the challenge. And I wish that maybe I could send you out an email or something like that. But just a reminder that we're going to do what we can to steward our health in these next months, so we are not at the mercy of what's going on with all the sickness. We're going to stay healthy and strong. We're in this together, friends. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.